Let us be encouraged by God's holy word, God speaking to us himself from his precious, precious word. And the title of tonight's message, Take One Day at a Time. Take One Day at a Time. And so a little background here, not this Tuesday, but two Tuesdays ago. Of course, I'm blessed to do the my weekly pastor's prayer call. And so there's a number of pastors around Wisconsin that kind of call in. Sometimes we have different guests, preachers that call in as well. And I had a chance to pray two Tuesdays ago with a Pastor Anderson. I don't know him, but he's the sending pastor of one of the other Wisconsin pastors. But anyway, Pastor Anderson from Michigan. And so he was part of the prayer group that we were, you know, kind of praying together. And he had just lost his wife on December 11th. So just, about 2 months ago, a month and a half. And so, one of the other preachers said, well, Brother Anderson, how are you holding up? How are you getting through? And Pastor Anderson said, well, brothers, I take it one day at a time. I take it one day at a time. And it got me thinking, because actually that is a extremely biblical way for us to live our life, one day at a time. We are reminded in scriptures, Proverbs 27, verse 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. How true it is. Be thankful for the day we have now. James 4:14, we know this one as well. For whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And that brings me to my main verse. And so let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Again, take one day at a time. And not just is it a recommendation. In fact, we'll see it is a commandment for us to take one day at a time, to consider one day at a time, focus on one day at a time. Matthew 6, and may this encourage us. Every day is the opportunity to serve God. May we not squander it. And so Matthew chapter 6, and in verse 34, and just good biblical principles for us to live by as Christians. Matthew 6, 34, the Lord Jesus Christ himself says, take therefore no thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a blessing to be in thy house even today. I thank you, Lord, so much for your precious word. Thank you, Father, for just your mercy, so evident, Lord, in just the good reports that we heard from the missionaries, Lord, the Tolsons, the Simonsons, of course, others. But Father, just even in spite of ourselves and our weakness, Lord, I think even of Simonsons with all the worldly affairs that are going on, Lord, with the health struggles, and there's always finances, Lord, there's always different political unrest in different nations. But in spite of all these affairs, Father, they are not tangled, they're not entangled in them, that they can certainly address those, but then serve you from the fullest. And so, Father, I thank you for your mercy and goodness to them, and may we be found in like faith, Lord, and faithfully serving here. Father, we thank you for your precious, precious word. Help us to apply it and to be doers, not just hearers. And Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Father, even Lord willing, if the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't come back tonight, we thank you for even tomorrow that will dawn, Lord, and another day to serve you. Help me not to get the cart ahead of the horse, Lord, and help me to just treasure, but redeem each day as you give it to me. Father, we thank you for the sweet time of prayer. And so, Father, help us, Lord, we do pray. Holy Spirit of God, have your way and your will. Speak to us through your word. And Father, we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Taking one day at a time. A lot of this is, again, my own personal testimony of how I think. Perhaps you can relate to this, but we tend to think of time in weeks, okay? Week one, week two, and when we, back at NTC or any college or academic type environment, you always have week one, week two, week three, goes up to week 16, then you have the final. So, and so it's very easy for us to be hardwired, to be thinking of things in terms of weeks. And during the week, of course, we have the work week. And then we have the weekend. Oh, that was my light at the end of the tunnel when I was, when I was a kid. Of course, I didn't care for school. And it's funny how that is, because even when I entered the workforce, I didn't care for work either. Either way, I was looking forward to the weekend, crawl my way to the weekend, kind of thing. So you have your work week, you have your weekend, and it's easy for me to think of time, to think of days, bundle them together as weeks. But it got me thinking, you know, from what Pastor Anderson had said, you know, take one day at a time, you know, and how do I take the days that God has given me? How does God want me to take his days? And number one, worry about one day at a time. Worry about one day at a time. And again, by worry, we don't mean, you know, freak out, okay? But worry meaning as in focus, okay? Concentrate, just emphasize just the day that we are in the present at the moment. Just pay attention to the day that is at hand, right? And look at verse 34. We'll start there. Take therefore no thought. That's none. I mean, this is pretty, I'm a black and white guy, and this is a very black and white verse, a very binary verse, yes or no. It's no, take zero thought, no thought, zip, nada, none, no thought for the morrow. Again, the context is not really saying you have no clue what's going to, you know, what it's saying is don't worry, don't stress out. The emphasis has to be on today. For the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That is a battle that is waging right now in our present. It's in today. Keep our eye on the enemy. I don't want to be facing the enemy of today and then be distracted, be kind of thinking, and my mind kind of wanders about tomorrow. And sure, there's going to be enemies tomorrow. There's going to be hardships tomorrow. There's going to be hurdles tomorrow. There's going to be potholes tomorrow. But there are plenty of those today. And if I let my mind drift off to the next day, I might trip up today, right? So focus on today. Every day has enough evil things for us to deal with. And of course, God gives new mercies and sufficient mercies for today. That's the blessed thing. So we have battles, we have challenges, we have evils that come upon us every day. But praise God for his mercy. Don't have to turn there. I'll just read it. But Lamentation chapter 3, verse 22, 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Amen. It's not us. It's on his mercy because his compassions fail not. And then the rest of the verse, they are new every morning. It's wonderful. Great is thy faithfulness. You know, it's an amazing thing. He is so faithful. I think of myself, I don't know, whatever your morning routine is, I'm a coffee person. I'm trying to scale back, but I'm a coffee guy. I kind of wake up, and especially on our Tuesday morning prayer times, and so wake up a little bit earlier than normal. I kind of meander my way to the kitchen, and I try to fumble my way to the coffee maker and get it going. And one of the things that can dishearten myself is I open the drawer and we are out of coffee. I'm like, oh. Well, the blessing is, and I can relate with my kids now. It's coffee for me. It's cereal for them. Okay, and so they go skipping into the kitchen. They open the cabinet expecting to see some cereal there. But if mom and dad drop the ball, they open it and it's bare. And like, ha, jokes on that. No, but you know, and they're like, oh. Now here's the blessed thing for us. Wake up every morning. We go to our stash of mercy. We open it up, and there is always going to be fresh mercy for that day from God. That is amazing. It never runs out. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies are new, and you use them up throughout the day, and then it miraculously reappears the next day. I mean, it's just so amazing. So this is God's, the cruse of oil that never fails, right? This is the mercy that he gives us. They are new every day. Now, no, there's no catch. There's no catch and there's no strings. However, the supply of mercy we get every day is only a daily supply. It's just for that day. And if I take that mercy that God gives me and I start using it for tomorrow's burdens, I'm going to run out for mercy for today. Of course, we won't. Okay, so but I'm just trying to. I just want us to think of it this way. Because if I use what God has given me today, not for today, I'm going to be tempted to be overwhelmed. Because when I look at the days in weeks, and it's easy, you know, and you know, mom and dads do that. You know, you want to have your pantry sufficiently stocked, right? You don't want to go shopping every day, hopefully. And so you build up your little supply of inventory to last until your next round of grocery shopping. And so I get it. And so we look beyond the one day, right? Like, well, we have 7 days. We need to have 7 3 meals a day, maybe 21 meals, I mean, whatever you want to parcel it out. And so we tend to do that for regular, you know, day-to-day type things. But when you consider what God does, he wants us to look at things only from a daily basis. And if I look at the whole week with my and compare it to my my just that one day's worth of mercy, it's easy for me to be tempted that I don't have enough mercy. Hang on, just like we would groceries, right? Oh man, we only got one box. By the way, sometimes in our house, it's you know, multiple loaves are gone in one day, okay? One of the most comical things I find in my house is the resealable option. When you buy some, you can buy in bulk, party pack, and it's got a little feature on there, resealable bag for storage, and like, it doesn't matter, it's gone in one sitting anyway, so we don't reseal anything, it just goes in the garbage. But what I'm saying is, you know, we look at what we have, like, oh man, we have 7 days worth of needs, but I only have 1 day's worth of food, not enough, and you're going to get stressed out. Now, if we think that way with our groceries as we do with God's mercy, then we're going to do ourselves a disservice, because God is only going to give me 1 day's worth of mercy, because he only wants me to focus on the day at hand. If I focus on the whole week, I'm going to be tempted to go to mammon. I'm going to be tempted to trust in self, the world, others, but not God, because God has only given me enough. Now, he gives me new mercy every day. That's the blessedness, the cruise of water doesn't run out. But when I want more than a cruise, when I want a whole vat of oil, and God only gives me a daily, you know, dose, that's when I'm tempted. In fact, that's the whole emphasis of this chapter that we just read, this passage here, is daily, continual trusting in the Lord, not mammon. And we need to keep our eyes focused only on the evils of this day. Then I'm good. I have enough mercies for the evils today. If I start thinking in a whole week, I'm going to be significantly short. I mean, I won't, but I'll think that way, okay? And so let's go back to verse 24. Let's go back to verse 24, same chapter 6, Matthew 6, verse 24. The whole teaching of this passage is to trust God, not self, and not mammon. And we are tempted to trust in self and mammon when we think of more than just one day, okay? So let's go to verse 24. Same, you know, the emphasis, it builds up to verse 34. But 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. I mean, we know this. You can't serve money, wealth versus God. You've got to pick one. And so therefore, I say unto you. So to make sure we don't be ensnared to be of service to mammon, take no thought for your life, because that's going to hold us hostage to mammon. What ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. In other words, it's important, but God's going to, you know, provide this, trusting God to provide these. It's not the body, it's not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Yes, we are. Okay, rhetorical question. Yes, we are. We are made in God's image, only mankind. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? None of us. So therefore, obviously, we've got to trust God. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, how they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Oh me. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. The context of Gentiles here would be unbelievers. For your heavenly Father knoweth what ye that ye have need of all these things. Focus, concentrate, worry about just the present day at a time. Worry about one day at a time. Otherwise, I'll be overwhelmed. In fact, it leads me to the second point. Work one day at a time. Work one day at a time. Now, the context is for God. Okay, this is not our own self. This is working for God. So work one day at a time for God. That's point number two. Look at verse 33. Keep going. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so my focus, this is so wonderful, my focus doesn't have to be like how a lost person would operate. They do what they can to put food on the table, and I understand that's the responsibility as parents and as a husband, I get it. But our focus, if we focus on God, he provides everything else that we need. focus on serving God first, seeking Him. Serve God foremost each day, and He will take care of us. That's guaranteed. God has a daily goal for us, not just a weekly goal. He has a daily goal for us, a daily desire, a daily plan for us. May we seek after it. So every day He gives us mercy for the evils at hand, and He wants us to do something specific for Him. Here's a good verse to keep in mind, because it really, this verse is a wonderful verse. I've quoted this numerous times. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, because this really, you know, transcends any vocation, any ministry, any job, any area. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, because it's, you know, it's not just for the preacher or the missionary, or the pastor. It's for every Christian. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And then verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. And so look at this. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. Amen. We serve because we're saved. We serve because we've won, right? Eternal life. And maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by who? Us. This is amazing. In how many places? Every place. And this is God's desire, that God wants Christians, no matter who we are, where we are, He wants to use us to manifest the savor of His knowledge through us every day, no matter where we are. It could be to my customers, could be to my co-workers, it could be to strangers that I interact with, it could be, you know, my people in my home, family members. And so the idea is that no matter where we are, God, it's amazing that he can do anything He wants. God is omnipotent. He can do whatever He wants. But He desires, He chooses sovereignly to make manifest the savor of His knowledge. That means people know that God's real. People know that God is there. Not through some lightning bolt that strikes down. Not through light in the sky. Not by some angelic chorus that's heard in the air. But through us. Through us, God wants us to make manifest the knowledge of His presence, of who He is, and may that be truly our desire each day. In fact, it reminds me of Brother Mark Tolson, how he signs off, right, his letters, to know Jesus and to make Jesus known, right? The idea is that if someone knows us, I hope they know that we are a Christian. If someone interacts with you, I hope that, now they don't have to agree, okay, but I hope they know that that we are a Christian, that we are a believer of Jesus Christ, okay? And so what an opportunity, what a blessedness, you know, that we have this every day to manifest, no matter where we are. It could be, you know, I can pick on where my kids work, and it doesn't matter where it is, or where we go shopping, the errands we run, the places we go, wherever we are, God desires us to, and I mean, we think of the word savor. You think of that aroma, that fragrance. It's like one of those things when Thanksgiving meal is right around to be served. You know, you can smell all the food just kind of wafting around the house, the aroma. And so that savor, God desires to use us to have that savor of His knowledge, that people can tell, hey, God's real. Hey, He's different. Hey, He's walking with God. Oh, hey, there's something about Him that I don't have. Verse 15, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. And so it's a savor. The same savor is taken differently, but whether someone is pro-God or anti-God. To the one, we are the savor of death unto death. Someone who hates God, they're not going to like how we smell, the fragrance, because to them it will be a stench, right? Because they're anti-God. In fact, death unto death, that's speaking about the second death. Very, very sad. And to the other, the savor of life unto life. Someone that is, you know, that is open to things of truth, open to things of Scripture. May our testimony win them to Jesus Christ, to be born again, right? To have eternal life, right? Life right now unto life eternal. And who is sufficient for these things? And who can do this all through us? Well, answer is Christ. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God. It's all God, by God, for God. Speak we in Christ. And so that's how we do it. When we speak in Christ, no matter where we are, that's how we manifest the savor of his knowledge to whoever's there. Now, if someone, you know, I've had that where I pass a track out and they're like, I've been so blessed. You never know what responses you get. Like, hey, can you read this? It tells you how to go to heaven. You know, can you read this? It tells how Jesus loves you. I mean, whatever my liner happens to be. And some would say, oh, I really needed this. Thank you. You know, that's great. They smile, I smile. Some say, oh, no, I don't want that. I say, well, that's your choice. Can't force you. But they get offended. But no matter what the case may be, may I, by the grace of God, manifest the savor of his knowledge, that they know that God is real, they know that I believe in God. Because we interact with people every day. And so that may this be our daily goal. In fact, it's hard. Is it hard to serve God? Well, we are called laborers for a reason, because it is work. It is labor. But here's some good news for us. Let's go to chapter 4, same book, but let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Don't forget this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and then verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16. So two chapters ahead. Says, nevertheless, 4:16 says, for which cause we faint not. Amen. To be a laborer of Christ, not be weary in well-doing. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed, what? Day by day. And this inward man is the new life that we have in Christ, the born-again man, right? And what's so amazing is, if I'm going to break, remember, we are made brittle on purpose. We are just earthen vessels. And, you know, here's the joy for me. If my inward man, though the outward man perish, in other words, even if I'm rejected, even if someone shoots me down, even if I don't see any fruit, guess what? And I might lay a big egg and say, well, I'm old for whatever today. I passed up so many tracks and no one got saved. Or I witnessed to so many one today, so no one got saved. I mean, however we might look at a day, the next day, guess what happens? I have a fresh batch of mercy and the inward man is renewed. That is a wonderful thing. I don't have to hold back. I can go all out today because I don't have to budget myself for tomorrow, because the inward man is renewed day by day and I get a fresh batch of mercy every day. I mean, that is so amazing. If I hold back, how does the saying go? You know, I'm leaving stuff on the field. Oh wait, is it the other way around? I'm holding back. I want to go all out. I don't want to have anything left in reserve. You know what I'm saying? Just use all you have each day. Expend all that God has given us in the day for his day. Amen. Also, number one, worry about one day at a time. Number two, work one day at a time for God. Number three, worship one day at a time. And this is another good one. So let's go to Psalm 141. Psalm 141, worship one day at a time, or worship every day, if you will, but worship one day at a time. Let's go to Psalm 141, and verse 1 is good, but I want to focus on verse 2. Psalm 141, and then verse 2, of course, the Psalm of David, but notice what it says here. Psalm 141, and then verse 2, of course, worship God every day, pray to God every day. But it says here in verse 2, let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. So incense, of course, is sweet fragrance to God. But there's a little, there's additional context behind that about the frequency of how often. And the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Now, we don't have to turn to the Old Testament references, okay? But I'm just going to sum it up for us here. In the Old Testament, Israel was instructed to offer incense to God on the altar of incense. Any guesses how often Israel was commanded to do that? Every day. If you need to reference it later, it's Exodus chapter 30, the giving of the law. Exodus chapter 30, the first 8 verses of Exodus chapter 30. Israel was instructed by God to every day on the altar of incense, in fact, twice a day, morning and evening, you burn incense to God. He wants to smell that. Okay, he wants to have that fragrance. Now, David is saying this, let my prayer Now, he's not literally burning incense. He's comparing it to his prayer. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. And so David is praying not just once, maybe twice a day, probably more. And the lifting up of my hands, again, this is worship, this is prayer to God, as the evening sacrifice. Of course, hand in hand, the evening sacrifice was also to be given daily. These are daily sacrifices that God, you know, told Israel. This is the chapter before, Exodus 29, verse 38 and 39. In fact, it was one lamb offered in the morning and then one in the evening. So there were two sacrifices, morning sacrifice with the morning incense, and then evening sacrifice with the evening incense. And God says, do this for how long? Perpetually. Always. Don't stop. Morning, evening, morning, evening, morning, evening. Don't stop. And so may we worship, pray, praise God on a daily basis. We need to pray every day. I mean, that kind of goes without saying. Remember the Lord's Prayer? Give us this day our daily bread. Myself, I'll be like, Lord, give me this week. Then I'm good to go. No, but God, and God instructs us and God commands us to pray to him for our daily needs every day. Why? Because God wants to be worshipped every day and he wants fellowship with us every single day. He wants to hear from us every day. That's what he desires. He wants that fellowship with us on a daily basis, you know, and really the pattern for New Testament believers, doesn't matter Jew or Gentile, it really mirrors the Old Testament Israel where their worship, their religion, and their life was really inseparable. I mean, they're one and the same. And speaking about myself, you know, it's easy for me to come and kind of compartmentalize my Christianity, especially when I think of my days as weeks, right? Because it's easy for me to think of, you know, Monday to Friday, that's the work week, right? Time for my job. And then after hours, Monday to Friday, it's time for family. After work, at the end of end of each day, it's time for family. Work day is time for work. And then Saturday is the day of rest. I get to do my catch-up stuff, the hobbies. This is time for me. And then Sunday, that's God's day. I mean, this is not, you know, it's kind of easy for me to think this way. Monday to Friday, work time for work. After hours, Monday to Friday, time for family. Saturday, my own time. Sunday, time for God. Now, from a weekly basis, I'm like, well, it seems pretty balanced. Seems, you know, I got all the bases covered. However, God desires daily worship. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Because this is where it makes a big difference, how we consider and how we look at time, weekly or daily. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. And then verse 16, Ephesians 5, verse 16, redeeming the time. Yep, this is time, but how does God look at time? Because the what? Days are evil. Not weeks are evil. Now, days do run into weeks, I get it, but it's not weeks, it's not months, it's days. God's denominator, God's unit of measurement of time, it's not weeks or months or years, it's days. And this is what he wants me to do. And I need to redeem the time because the days are evil. In other words, God wants me to redeem each day. To redeem something like a coupon, you turn a worthless coupon in to get the value that the coupon gives you, right? And so the idea is every day, and just like redeeming a coupon, you have to do something proactively to redeem it. If you don't do it, it stays unredeemed the way it is. Okay, it starts off unredeemed. If we do it, then it switches over to redeemed. And every day starts by being evil. If I don't redeem it, at the end of the day, it remains evil. And then that day is gone. And then I get a new day. And so if I think of time in weeks, it's easy for me to say, well, my week seems pretty redeemed. Monday through Friday, work and family time. Saturday, me time. Sunday, God time. See, I got all my bases covered. But if I look at it on a daily basis, then I realize, wait a minute, today's Monday, I just did work and family. That's all I did. I didn't redeem anything for worship. I didn't redeem anything for, you know, in those other areas. Certainly my Bible reading, my prayer life, whatever the case is. Then all of a sudden I realize, wait a minute, God wants me to redeem each day, not each week. And when I look at God's time to me on a daily basis, it will change how I redeem that time. Taking one day at a time, when a day ends, I can't, it's gone forever. I can't go back and you know, it's gone. And so, of course, we have tonight, we'll be praying, that's a blessing. But tomorrow, redeem, tomorrow starts off evil. In other words, it's not good until I redeem it and do what God wants me to do, right? So tomorrow, I mean, worry about, focus on tomorrow. And then work tomorrow, one day at a time, work for God's glory. And then worship God one day at a time. Not just on a weekly basis, but a daily basis. This is what God desires of you and I. Remember what Jesus says about denying ourselves? Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Abba, Father, what a blessed thought, Lord. What an awesome thought that you are so intimate with us. On a daily basis, you desire to hear from us, Lord, even twice in the Old Testament, morning and evening sacrifice, through the day, through the night. And so, Father, help us to truly, our prayers, be as the incense that's a sweet savor to you, not just once a week or once a month, but once a day, maybe more than that, Lord, throughout the day. And that the lifting up of our hands as we praise you, as the evening sacrifice and morning sacrifice, Lord, that is a perpetual sacrifice. Help us, Lord, to redeem the time, because the days are evil. Help us, Lord, to walk circumspectly. Help us, Lord, to rejoice evermore in each day, Lord, that we, even if the outward man perish, even if things hurt today, the inward man is renewed day by day. And so are your mercies, Lord. And so every day, Lord, it's so foolproof if we do what you say. We love you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to focus just on today so that we are not tempted to trust in self or mammon. And Father, we just praise you for it. Bless now the prayer time in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.